Hey everybody, welcome to Bear with Leif. This week I am joined by comedian Jess Reed. Jess, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Excellent. I'm very happy to have you on.
Thank you. I'm glad to be in your show.
Thank you for being in the show.
Well, I wanted to say here.
Yeah,
but we're like in
your apartment.
My apartment.
Yeah, I was really...
Yeah. I didn't know how to gracefully tiptoe around that.
Yeah, I was really hoping you're like, thanks for having me over. No, fuck.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's great. We're going to get started. And so everyone enjoy and I'll catch you later. Bye.
I'm good. We chatted a bit earlier about my job.
Yes.
And
yes,
so,
we did.
Yes, my job. I'm a server, which I really like. I resented it for many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. But I've come to accept it. I enjoy it. By the place I'm working at now, my boss is just like super micromanagey, which specifically in the restaurant business, because it's moving so quickly, micromanagement is just a terrible way.
Oh, that's the worst way. Honestly, most of the time, that's the worst way
right,
to go.
But right, right, right.
In the food industry?
Ooh, yeah, dude,
no
you're
good.
Moving too fast for someone to be like, I don't like the way you polished that fork 3 hours ago. It's like, I can't.
Oh,
I don't care
no.
Right now.
Was that something
you know?
That actually happened?
Yeah, shit like that happens on
oh,
the reg.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's his restaurant, so I have to respect that. And he is going through a rough patch. So it's all, I mean, all serving is patience.
Yes, it is. I had done that for a while, and it just got to the point where I was like, I'm good. I was a waiter for 3 days. And after the third day, I just went to my manager. I was like, I will do anything else here.
Wow.
I will not be a server. And he looked at me. He's like, I agree. That's a real good idea. That's a real good idea.
Oh,
I just could not do it.
Man, you know what's fun about me is when I first started in the restaurant industry, I worked as a fountain girl at a Friendly's. Do you know what a Friendly's is?
I worked at what was called the Chatterbox.
Ooh.
Very similar
oh, no.
to, it was like a small, it was an individual restaurant, but it was a like 1950s drive-in,
mm-hmm.
and that's very much like a Friendly's.
Right.
So it's like, it was just like an independent Friendly's. So I know exactly.
Wow,
yeah.
An independent Friendly's. Dream big.
Dream big.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no,
so I did that. So I worked as a fountain girl, which is basically just scooping ice cream. And I remember desperately wanting to be a waitress. Like, I was trying so hard to impress my manager so that one day I could be a fucking Friendly's waitress. And I remember my first table so vividly. I'll never forget it. Because I was also a painfully shy teenager. Like, beyond socially inept. Yeah, so trying to not only speak to an entire group of strangers, but make them feel comfortable was not natural for me at all. But thankfully, I had a family and I was a child. So they were so understanding, even though I fucked up their order so heinously, so heinously. Oh, man. I don't know why I didn't get fired that moment. But here we are 8 years later and I am getting micromanaged by an ex-kindergarten teacher.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he treats us like children.
Yeah. I taught first grade for a while, and now I will manage sometimes, and I always have to apologize for talking to them like they're 6 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, I'm really sorry. It's not good.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He does that to, like, adults. Like, we're adult human beings.
And it's the most degrading thing.
Oh, God,
which is
terrible.
Wonderful when you're trying to put someone down, but it's not good when you're trying to get somebody's respect. And,
right.
Yeah,
and it's a small independent restaurant, which mm-hmm. I think is across the board, if you work at any small company, you're trying to foster a sense of family there.
Yeah.
You're spending all of your time with each other. So, you know, having someone be a total ass to you on every single time you see them, you know, it's like going home for the holidays and having that shit uncle, but every day, and you have to be nice or else you can't make rent.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
So I had, before we get too into the interview, I am curious, why comedy?
God, I've tried for so long to think of an answer, and I don't really know. I think it's because when I was younger, my dad, who is a lovely man, Navy vet, has worked for the public for 30 years now, is a big redneck. And so he really thought that like theater and singing or anything expressive really was weak. It was a very weak thing to do. I was a very sports oriented family. So even though I was interested in those things, and not overly interested, but I didn't dislike them, I always shied away from them. But my dad really respected comedy. And so that was, I could be a sarcastic little prick, but heaven forbid I do a plié. You know what I mean? So yeah. I just got, I don't know, I really looked up to stand-up comedians when I was younger. I didn't know I was funny until I was about 20. It wasn't like a identifier. It wasn't something I would tell people that
I am. You and me both. I was straight up told several times I was not funny.
Oh, really?
By a lot of people.
Oh, wow.
I didn't get into stand-up until I was 29. I did improv at 27.
Okay.
Yeah. Almost 30. How old am I? I'm 31. It's been like a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, real late. Yeah, people are the worst.
Yeah.
Do you get that when you go home and see someone you haven't seen? Like, yeah, I do comedy. You?
I never go home. Don't go there.
Good
call. And if I do, it's specifically to see my parents and then I leave.
That's the best.
Not run into a high school acquaintance in 6 years.
Oh my God, teach me everything. It is
so amazing. It's so beautiful. I mean, I hope I never do, honestly. Yeah. I don't know why people go to reunions. I don't know what they get out of them. Because even if you did have a good time in high school, like, it's kind of pathetic.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I got talked into going to mine because one of my best friends was like, I want to go. I lived in Jersey, so I know a lot of people in the city. Like, some of them who moved here, I have a few friends who I still see regularly. But my one friend really wanted to go. And I was like, well, if you want to go, I'll go with you. I'll be the DD, and then we'll go and have fun. And within 10 minutes, I was just like, this is the worst.
What is it like? Is it as sad as I imagine?
It's not. I think everyone's actually very excited to be there and catching up. Like, the people who do go are the people who are really who really want to catch up with people.
Okay.
And like, my friend was talking to everyone, catching up with a lot of people. I found out if you sat at the bar in the corner, how you came into the building, everyone would see you. But the only way that they could talk to you is if they went all the way around the bar to get to me.
Oh, you sly dog.
So I just wanted to be in the corner. So I found that immediately and set up. And I realized within like an hour, I was like, oh, this is the perfect place to be. Two people came over to say hi to me.
Wow.
And they are the people I talk to all the time and see regularly. And so I was just like, this is perfect.
That's nice.
I like talked to the bartender who was a mom. And I was just like, whatever. And I was just hanging out. It was wonderful. I got nothing out of talking to anyone else on my way to that corner. So I got stopped and people wanted to talk. But even a friend of mine who I went to their wedding was there, and I talked to them for 2 minutes.
Wow.
And I was just like, we're all going very different directions, which is okay. But I have no desire to ever do any of those ever again.
Right.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, they just reek of desperation to me. I don't know. I'm sure it's like some deep-seated thing in me that I am projecting onto a high school reunion. But they just seem like such a... 'cause why do you go to a high school reunion? I cannot believe anyone goes there innocently and is like, I just want to know what Kaylee Rowe is doing right now. Like, you want to see where you are compared to everyone else.
Yeah, I could totally see that. It was real weird. I still remember only a few weeks before that, I was hanging out with a friend, and he still talked to a lot of people from high school. And I ended up going with him and hanging out with all these people. The entire time, they talked about high school. And just got to the point, I wanted nothing to do with that conversation. Because I was like, that was 10, 11 years ago. And eventually I asked him, like, why do you guys keep talking about high school? And they openly admitted to thank you. One more. Here we go. They openly admitted to high school being the best time of their lives. And they're like, not all of us live these awesome lives you have. And I was like, you mean like going out and doing fun stuff?
Oh my God.
And they're just like, yeah, we all can't just go do that. I was like, I gotta go.
What?
Yeah. I was just like that.
What?
I wanted to just like be like, I couldn't. I just had to go. I was like, I can't. You're on your own now. Like, you, God.
Oh,
and there are
a
lot of people who just think, oh, it's over now.
I do. I am starting to get at that point in my life because I am 25. I'm starting to get
so old.
I know.
Oh my God.
I'm dying every day. But it is like when you're younger, you have these expectations for yourself. And it's starting to get to the point in my life where I'm 25. I am not a lawyer on SVU. And I'm starting to realize like that's a good thing. That's truly not what I want at all. But it's hard for me sometimes to like beat that back because part of me is still like, no, you like should absolutely be in law school right now. But I know I would hate it. I've always hated school.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Yeah. I got talked into going. I went to college because college is presented to you in high school that there's no option.
Exactly.
You go to college. I would have taken more time off and then made a better, more mature decision as opposed to because I went to Syracuse, which is real silly because I applied to Ithaca, got into Ithaca. Their physics department is a bit rough, like was not great. And I got in for physics and education. Then a couple weeks later, Cornell, which is like right across the way from Ithaca, sent me an acceptance letter being like, oh, you're in. I was like, I didn't apply. They're like, no, we want you to come here.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. This guy didn't go, like a dumb idiot.
What?
I know. Because I was kind of dating someone at the time.
Shut up.
I know.
No.
I know. No. It gets worse. They only applied to the schools I applied to because they did almost no work. And then they're like, I'm going to Ithaca. And both of us were like, that we can't go to the same school. And she's like, well, I'm going to Ithaca. I was like, well, fuck. Syracuse did a good job selling. And so I ended up starting school there.
Ooh.
I left after a year and a half. But yeah, idiot. Big dumb.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoopsie dipsie.
But if I gave it some time, big dumb idiot over here wouldn't have fallen for that.
Right.
And things would have been totally different. Maybe I don't even go to school. But then also maybe I don't have all the debt.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer.
So much debt. I am proud of myself. I'm actually paying mine now. Mm-hmm. And I will be, if God forbid I don't break a leg or something, I will be debt free when I am 37.
That's not that bad.
Right?
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been paying mine for, oh man, 7 years now, and it is just a chunk every time.
So large.
Yeah, but I'm hoping next, like, the goal is to live like a monk, which I've been doing a great job.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Really put a ton of money away, or not away, kill the loans, and then in 5 years buy a van and travel the country.
Are you being dead serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
I want to do that so bad. I know I'm supposed to want to do that when I'm like 21. I'll do it when I'm 37. That's fine.
Well, I think it's almost better to do it when you're 37 because you're not going to, again, I know it's so stupid, but youth is wasted on
the
young.
Yep.
Oh, man, what was I doing? Such an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
Such an idiot.
I was drinking whiskey and playing Ultimate. That's all I was doing.
Yeah, I was drinking whatever. God, yeah, just looking back on my younger self, I was truly the worst version of me. I hope I could ever be. Like, I really hope.
But that's awesome that you've come to that point now. Like, it took me until literally 28, 29, probably 29 when I really, like, when I started doing comedy more seriously, if that's, more seriously. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, man, my 20s were a mess.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So but it's good. Fun fact, when you say that on a date, huge game changer. Because have you ever been asked a question on the date where you see yourself in 5 years?
No.
I get asked that question.
Oh, my God.
I have been asked that question several times.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, yes.
That's like asking someone, how much money do you make on a first date to me? That's so...
Dating at 30 is real weird.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who are like, they have very strict timelines. Like, I want a kid in a few years. I want to be married and stuff like that. So it's a lot up top. And when you say you want to save up enough money and then hit the road in a van, huge game changer. I tell that to my roommate. My roommate's like, you're an idiot. And like, let alone on a date saying that, huge game changer.
Wow.
Which is hilarious.
That's... You just opened my eyes to something I did not even consider. That is terrifying to me. I am so bad at relationships.
You and me both.
Yeah.
And here we go back to relationships. It's all right. We made it 17 minutes without getting back to it, right?
Okay.
It always ends up coming back to relationships. We tackled comedy eventually.
Yeah.
Again. Oh, this is just... You made it
I'm
weird
so
with Pete
sorry.
Holmes. It's
I'm
not
so
your
sorry.
Fault. It's where the conversation naturally goes.
Yeah.
Love. What is it? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
Basically. Every conversation ends up doing that.
You know, I really try and I pride myself on this. I really try not to talk about dating with people in general conversation.
Sure.
Just because I feel it's the lowest form of... conversation. Like, what's that Eleanor Roosevelt quote? Oh God, my feminist duties are not filled. It's basically like simple people talk about other people, smart people talk about events, and then enlightened people talk about ideas. Mm-hmm. Something to that effect. And I try to live by that.
Cool. That's a good idea. I try to do the same thing. I actually get really bored when people talk about people. I like just talking about fun ideas and concepts.
Right. Yeah. There's only so many times.
It makes me feel real good. It makes me feel real smart.
It does. It's a more fun, because you, don't get me wrong, I love gossip. It is my least favorite thing about me, but I love it.
Your
so
face lit up
much.
So much.
I like... Truly, truly love it. It's so bad. It's
Excellent.
So bad.
I
really try not to spread it, but I absolutely will pressure you into telling me whatever you know.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, there is, it's, I can't do, I think, more than like 10 minutes of whatever happened to you and Schmo. You know?
Yeah. Which, yeah, see, I'm bad with that. But that makes me terrible on dates because I always get asked, even not even dates, when I see new people, I meet new people, people ask me, like, what do you do? What is this? What is that? Like, I asked you that earlier, almost as, like, I should try doing this in social situations because, like, I don't do that. I don't ask people. I immediately go to riffing and having fun and talking about these weird abstract ideas, which when you meet someone the first time can be very intimidating and also just like, you're an idiot. Get out of here. And on dates, I get real bored. And this, I don't have much of a poker face. It's real bad when I'm sitting there just like, oh my God, let's get this over with.
Oh no.
It's real bad.
Yeah. I tend to, oh God. I've only been on a few dates since I've been in the city. And I
It's the worst, isn't it?
It is.
They
are not kidding when they say dating in New York
is
different. It's a different beast.
It's so, yeah, especially coming from Vermont, I'm assuming, because like I came from the country totally different.
Exactly.
More laid back, you meet the person, it's slow.
And
here it's like bam, 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 bam. So like, I can't keep up. Yeah. Slow down, please.
And frankly, I don't think I have to. It's almost insulting the way people date here.
It's a lot.
It's very insulting because then every other relationship I've ever had, you meet them, you hang out for a little bit. Like, no one is in a rush, really.
Exactly. It happens organically. No one's pushing. Yeah. Here, it's like, as I said, like, I've been asked where I saw myself in 5 years.
That's insane to me.
But, like, Tinder and all that, I've tried that. I've tried dating apps. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk to one person and be like, okay, work up. Like, we'll talk for a while and go on a date. But I just can't. I'm not saying I'm right, but I can't have 4 dates lined up.
Right.
Like, I can't do that. That doesn't make sense to me. It's like, if I'm going to give someone a chance, I need to kind of give my attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, if I get, scatter that, I'm going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I'm already terrible. Like, I've been on dates that were just first dates that were tracking bears or looking for snapping turtles. Like, what am I going to do in the city?
Excuse me. Oh man, wow. I've never done that, although I'm sorry that I'm doing this immediate competitive thing, but
no,
I'm doing
give
it.
Me a good story.
I one time was brought to the Holocaust Museum on a first date.
Oh yes, yeah. You did that the other day. Oh my god, it's so good. Please tell me all about that.
It was
fascinating.
So wrong in every possible way. I know you've heard this joke, so you know.
But it's so good.
And
it's
I just want to say that joke is structured like a joke, so I sound very mean.
You don't, though.
I've had so many people tell me that. I struggle with that joke because I want it to be about this man who brought me to the Holocaust Museum and how that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, not the majority at all, but enough where I'm concerned about it, think that I'm going after how it was funny that we were at the Holocaust Museum. Like, the Holocaust Museum is the punchline. Do you know what I mean?
I'm curious to talk to those people because they're wrong. Definitely wrong, because I've heard you do that, and it's exactly like you even said, it's like, it's not at all about the fact you were at the Holocaust Museum as much as you went on a first date.
Yeah.
That he thought it was a good idea to bring a first date to the Holocaust Museum.
Right.
Which is
specifically
that's intense.
Right. And
I mean,
more
kudos for him for doing something out of the box, but that's,
there's only,
there are better,
I mean,
ways,
yeah,
to go about that. That's intense.
Putt-putt is a great out-of-the-box date.
There you go.
You know,
there
something
you go.
Fun.
Putt-putt. You're right. I mean, it's insane. Bringing someone to the Holocaust Museum is insane.
It's not a good idea. For all you gents or
all
ladies out there.
All you big dumb idiots who think it's a good idea. It's
yes.
not. That's the worst idea.
So terrible. And like we were talking about earlier, I'm from a very small town in Vermont. I knew exactly one Jewish person up until that time. And we weren't even friends. I just knew him and knew he was the one Jewish person in town. Oh God, saying that now, I feel so terrible.
It's
true though, he was. God, that poor man in retrospect. Anyway, so I had zero context for the world at all. And I went to the school in Washington, D.C. and I was meeting all these new people, and he was the first one that I met, and there was like a spark or whatever, and he happened to be Jewish, and I just thought it was so cool that I was finally meeting new people, I was having new experiences, and so I really wanted him to like me. His approval mattered to me. And then having to basically escort him through the Holocaust Museum because he was a mess. I mean, really having what looked like an emotional experience.
Yeah.
Like an emotional breakdown in front of me. And we'd known each other for 2 weeks. It was, and keep in mind, I'm also going through the Holocaust Museum. So, like, I'm seeing all of these terrible, terrible, terrible things and trying to cheer up
this
guy I don't know.
That's something that even seasoned relationships, it's like, yeah. That's still a commitment if you're going to do that. And something like that, like, the problem is he should have known that it was going to be so emotional amazing story.
I think just the worst part was he didn't warn me. He made it like a surprise. Like, it was
Oh, that's right.
Wasn't warned. I thought we were going to the Air and Space Museum. I really, truly thought that. And so I was dressed inappropriately, to say the least. Okay. I was wearing a mini skirt and a tank top.
Oh my God.
A lot of makeup because I didn't know how to put it on. And so I just went for it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was truly, truly terrible.
Oh, there's so many parts of that are so good.
Just so many layers.
The surprise of it.
Yeah, why?
And, oh, why? No.
I have never, just in general, a life rule, surprises are for good. Surprises are supposed to be a good thing.
Like, there should be ice cream at the end.
Exactly.
And, like, or putt-putt. Like,
that's
just going to call putt-putt from now on. I love that.
What do you call it?
Oh, my God. Miniature golf?
Oh, Jesus. It's so surgical for the silliest thing on earth.
I know. It really is. But that's, I have a tendency to do that.
Like, how surprised would you be if you just saw a group of clowns at a putt-putt golf? You would not be surprised.
Not at all.
Because that's what happens at a putt-putt golf.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that reminds, like, you told that story the other day and I heard that and it was so good. It was so funny. Yeah. I was crying. Yeah. Like, I love first date stories because first dates are just awkward and people don't know what they're doing and they're trying hard or they're not trying, or there's always just so much going on. And that just tickled me so much. It was so good.
It was truly terrible. And then afterwards, after we got out of the museum, he was still crying. So I had to bring him to a diner and buy him pancakes to help him calm down.
You are the best first date. Like, you are a champion. Like, you handled that a true champion.
Like, I can't leave him. Like, we live together. We're in the same dorm.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So I'm going to have to see him every day.
Yeah. Did you get a kiss out of it?
No!
Hey, I don't know where his mind was
at. Okay, this is the part that makes me kind of sad. I like to imagine that Dave Rubin is just a very sensitive young man.
Sure.
And knew I was impressed with Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, okay, we're going to go on this emotional journey together. But several guys have come up to me afterwards and been like, oh, he was just trying to get a pity fuck. And I was like, that can't be true.
Oh, that would be the worst if that was true.
Right?
Oh, no.
That can't be true.
I didn't know that was a thing. But I also, as I've said earlier, I don't know what dating is.
I mean, if negging exists.
Which is true. I've been negged. That's a whole other story I'll tell you later.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can
get
into negging.
It was, I hope that was, was he actually a very smart, like, schemey individual, maybe, secretly? Is he, like, a secret villain in this? Did he?
The sad thing is, I don't know either way. I really don't know. Because I can think of one thing and then I can make an argument either way. Like, first thought, like, oh, he was 18. So, of course, he wouldn't do something like that. But then you're like, oh, he was 18. Of course, he did do something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 18-year-olds
are
disgusting animals.
Dogs.
Oh, they're terrible.
They are terrible.
Yeah.
They don't get better either. It's just kind of like a slippery slope the whole way.
Through college.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I have no respect. And I mean this sincerely. I have no respect for any man in college right now.
I agree. I hated them beforehand, during, and after college in general. I was like, that whole group, I was like, you guys stay over there. I'll stay over here. We're good.
Yeah, I just can't believe that any man who has not gone out and met women who are their peers in like a normal setting aren't misogynists. I just don't think it's possible. It's like growing up in an all-white town.
Mm-hmm.
If you've never met a black person, you are inherently racist.
Yeah.
You can't not be. It's not necessarily your fault, but you are.
Yeah.
And I feel that way about young men. I don't like young men. It's very hard for me to respect them. And I know that sounds militant, but I think everyone in their heart knows that.
It's very true.
Yeah.
It is.
Just young men.
When you're like in college, it's insane. And the stories I hear more and more, it is insane.
Right. Well, there's just, it's such a toxic place for young men specifically.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck happened, but there's just so much pressure to treat women like shit there.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you then, on top of just a standard, like the standard structure of college,
mm-hmm.
but on top of that, you add Greek life as well. And it's like structured in a way that it's supported and encouraged.
Right.
And it, like, I know so many of my friends have straight up been drugged all in college.
Yeah.
That's when that happened a lot. And I was like, it was just accepted.
It's expected. And yeah. I think the worst part is, because it is expected, it's the woman's fault for not taking the proper precautions.
Which is insane.
Which is the main reason why I don't respect young men, because they have not learned yet that it's their responsibility not to rape.
Yeah.
they don't know. No one's told them, and it would be an extraordinary young man who would just know that to me. Maybe he's out there. Prove me wrong, young man. please. But yeah. No, I don't fuck with younger men. They freak me out.
Hey, understandable.
Yeah.
Totally understandable. I was going to say something and totally lost it. It is gone. But we are at...
Okay. Negging came up.
Oh, it's not that great of a story, but I'll tell it now. I was just buying jeans.
Mm-hmm.
A very low stakes situation. It was funnier than anything.
Okay.
But I was buying jeans and I have lost a lot of weight. They changed the shape of the jeans. So I'm like trying to find the right pair. And this one guy is trying to sell me on stuff. I was like, no, I'm good. And I finally like go over, I get a pair of slim fit. And I was like, let me try these on, see how they go. And he comes over, he's like, oh, you don't want those. You have very powerful hips. And you could tell, like, how he said it was, like, you have very, and you could tell he's like, what am I saying? And I just, like, oh, say it. And he's like,
yes.
Powerful.
Oh,
hips.
God.
And I started
was
laughing
he hitting
hysterically.
On you?
Well, it turns out, yes. Yes,
yay!
He was. Because I tried them on, and I was like, actually, they fit pretty good. I like the fit. They're not too tight and everything. He's like, oh, and he tried giving me his number. And I was like, oh. And I was like, it works. Negging is the worst.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm sorry. I cannot.
Oh, God.
But it made me so happy that he said that I have powerful hips.
Wow.
Yeah.
Put that on your resume.
I should, yeah. Because he went, he's like, you have very power. He's going to say wide. He almost said wide. And I wish he did.
Oh, yes.
I wish he did.
Oh.
So good.
Yes. Hipster service. I love it so much.
Oh, man. It was, yeah. It was hilarious.
Well, I'm glad you had that experience.
Yeah, it was silly. Anyhow, so we're half an hour in.
Okay.
Are you ready for the definitive Jess Reed interview.
Oh, what were we doing before?
Just talking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Do you have your phone on you?
I do.
You will need that at some point.
Okay. Sewn pillow, and you don't have one. I feel very bad.
No, this is fine. I have a bad back.
Okay.
Mostly from lugging this stuff around, but it's nice to be able to like lean against the wall, which I know I'm not doing right now.
Okay.
But this side lean feels pretty good.
All right.
Sum up your human experience in 10 words.
Oh. This feels like an improv game. Sum up my human experience. Total lack of understanding human interactions and trying to adjust.
I like it. There you go. Nailed it. All right, cool. Number two. What was your last tweet? Has to be the last one. No pin tweets. Has to be the last one.
You picked the wrong girl for this.
Yeah, finally.
I don't tweet.
I don't either. I'm trying to. I'm not good at it.
It comes in waves.
Yeah, it really does.
But not even like if I do three, I will feel good about myself.
Three in a day? I've never done three in a day. If I'm lucky, I do one. I'd be amazed.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, sorry. I was reading. If I do three in a week, I'm like killing it.
Yeah.
I'm
terrible at it. I don't even know how to use. I barely know how to use Twitter.
Okay, so this is it. It's from October 25th. And it says, you know, real Donald Trump is bad when he makes me feel empathy for Kellyanne.
That's a good tweet.
Thank you. That's good. It got one like.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's see. All of mine are all podcast related. One retweet. My last actual. Oh, here we go. November 8th. Don't spoil the election for me. This was election day. Mm-hmm. Don't spoil the election for me on social media. I'm taping it at home. #election day.
That's a clever little tweet.
It was fun.
Yeah,
Twitter,
that's fun.
No one cared. Facebook, I got like 80 likes in a couple hours.
I think I liked it on Facebook because I never check Twitter ever.
I don't
so
either.
So I definitely didn't like it on there. But yeah, I remember Facebook seeing it on Facebook and thinking,
thank you. That was good. All right. All right.
Nice.
Maybe there's something to it. Get out of here.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, wow. Oh, that was dramatic.
Now I feel bad. Yeah, he's not doing too well. I just hit a moth out of the air.
Yeah, it's going to die.
Yeah.
That's all right. Sorry, dude. Welcome to Trump's America.
Oh, no. We're all going to die.
Well, no, he's just hobbling now. He can't fly anymore. That's the thing.
Oh, okay.
So he can hobble about.
There you go. Rory Scovel. Mm-hmm. He has one of my new favorite jokes. He's like, we're all going to die together now. It's a great time to be alive. And that's like his take on the whole Trump thing. And I was like, that's fucking
awesome. That's very
clever.
It
was so good and hilarious. And yeah, I'm so thankful I'm a comedian during this time. My roommate is a train wreck. If I didn't have jokes to like get me through this, I would never get out of bed.
I honestly don't know what I would be doing.
And I'm a white, straight male. And I wouldn't get out of bed. Like, what about everybody else?
Yeah, dude. I think if I weren't doing comedy right now, because this is going to be so lofty, but whatever. I really think we can do good. I think that the next 4 years is really going to be a time for comedians to... Because I feel like comedy has been moving towards a social justice binge anyway. People are watching more of that kind of stuff. I think it's really going to blow up now, and I think now is definitely the time. If you're thinking about getting into comedy, do it. It's going to be crazy the next 4 years. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. I think I have been on like a writing tear since it happened, just because it's my creative out and I've been coming up with jokes and all this other stuff, both topical and also just random stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real nightmare.
Yeah.
It's the one thing I hope it continues is I've seen people who have kind of been complacent over the last 8 years who have come back to life. And now I'm like, okay, let's keep this going. Like, we could actually inspire change and educate and really get out there. But it's like everyone needs to continue with this and not.
Right.
And like I've seen some of the people who were real pumped up the first day have already become complacent. But
really,
for the most part, a lot of the people who I'm like glad to see back, I'm like, oh, we're in this again. Like, let's do this. Let's make change and keep fighting and try to go for the stuff that like try to affect the change that we need. We needed beforehand, and now we need even more now.
Yeah, so. I mean, if Trump has taught us anything, I think is that we as Americans can definitely make change.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump is a huge fucking change.
Oh my God.
Maybe not the one that
the
we
wrong
want.
Direction.
Exactly.
That's not what we wanted.
At all. Yeah. But I think it's perfect proof that the people's will can be done.
Yes.
So if you have will, get it done. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
So, and also, if we're lucky enough, a chunk of the baby boomers will just die off.
Please, for the love of God. The baby boomers are the worst generation.
Yeah. We are good guys.
They suck
along.
So much. I was thinking about this just the other day. They are going to kill Medicaid. God.
Medicaid,
yeah.
Medicare, Social Security.
Done.
All of it.
Done.
We won't have it. When we are adults, we won't have it.
Absolutely.
And I'm fine
not.
With that. Just like, let's just get it over with. Let's just get them out of here. Move along. I say, here's my plan. We, it's one of two. First one's extreme. We get a bunch of icebergs and we just send them on their way.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to like Titanic it. We just put them on a big ship.
Well, I mean, the icebergs eventually will melt and then they go into the ocean. It's
ooh,
the old
that's
Viking
poetic.
Way. It's
that's
what we,
poetic.
It's what my people have been doing for generations.
Okay.
Or now hear me out. Florida, we break it off. We open up Disney's borders, okay. Let Disney just run the whole thing. They have a great economy, their own money, everything. Now we send all the baby boomers.
Do they have real, they have their own money?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do.
You know, what's funny is like, I believed it. I was like, do they actually have currency that you have to buy and use in the park?
I'm sure they have.
I would not be shocked.
At the very least, they must have coins or something for certain things.
I know they have credit cards, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
They're fine. Their economy is doing much better than Florida's anyway.
Yeah.
So we break that off. We send all the baby boomers to join their parents down there.
Mm-hmm.
Now we send the kids down there so they still see their grandparents and they have fun because it's also just all Disney everywhere.
Right.
And they're happy because they don't have to live with millennials anymore. And they just get summer all the time in Florida. And that's where they're all going to move anyway. That's where they all go. So it's a win-win.
Yeah.
I don't
so
see
So we
downside.
Basically just send them all to Florida and then take all of the electorates out of Florida. Is that what you're saying?
Well, Florida just does not become...
Florida
so
is its own...
We break Florida off.
Big-ass
state. I say we take... I mean, it's obviously up to them, but like take Puerto Rico. Like, you're a state now, if that's what they wanted. I know it goes back and forth and like votes have... It's like 50-50. That's up to them. Let's go to 49 states. I'm just thinking that it's really hard. Then we have to change the flags and everything. But so
I would swap Puerto Rico for Florida in a heartbeat.
I want to.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably the only actual serious aspect.
Yeah.
Of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Can we please trade?
I would absolutely do that.
There's like an island that no one lives on. It's just a swamp. I would trade that for Florida at
this
point.
Yeah.
And I love maybe one person down there in Florida, maybe two, and I don't wish ill of them. I just want the whole state to be just a little separate.
Yeah.
We'll just break it off. And they did.
Yeah, talk about a wall. Yeah. I would
Build a wall down there.
I'm so sorry.
It don't be. Are you kidding me?
Dirtied your podcast.
With bad
terrible,
jokes, yeah.
Terrible jokes.
That's invited. We needed jokes. We need more jokes. I'm trying to be silly. I'm happy. I'm just, as I said when I first got here, it's like, I'm not silly today. This is going to be a nightmare. And I'm still not silly, but we're getting there. I'm
I
glad
wouldn't call
else
it,
is.
This isn't necessarily a nightmare. More just like, mundane.
Yeah. Okay. There it
a
is.
A mundane dream.
A mundane dream. Just a real boring experience.
Yeah. Where it's just sort of like, you're still in your house, but the furniture is different and you don't know why.
Sure. Yeah.
like
this is just like a weird nap for you right now. Yeah. It's kind of meditative. Yeah. Well, I'm really happy I came down here today. I see how it is. That's how it's going to be.
I'm just saying in the world of podcasts.
That it's a boring experience. Great.
I'm very engaged.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am having a great time.
I will remember this forever.
It came out much, much worse than I wanted it to.
No, it's fine. So here's the deal with comedy. I'm in a perpetual existential crisis. Mm. And in my comedy, I'm trying to be, I'm really good at being mean in a fun, playful way. Mm-hmm. It's just that I immediately feel bad.
I know, me too. All the time. Me too. I am so envious of those comics who can just be mean and. Yeah.
And it's fine. Like what you said wasn't mean. That was a fun jab. It was so well done. Like, that was good. But you're like, I'm not really.
I can't stand by it.
Yeah. Sam, good friend of ours.
Yes.
I was recording with him and I said something and it got a giggle. Everyone was laughing and immediately was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And he was like, you're fine, but I can't do it. And I'm so good at it. I need to break through that so bad.
I know. I'm like, this is a nightmare in my mind all the time. It's so mean.
It's just me. And then even in my head, I'm like, I'm really sorry that I'm thinking about this about you right
now. I know, me too. So I do the same thing. Yeah. Like a friend of mine told me that he had eczema the other day. And then his, everyone's going to know who this is. I feel bad. And then his cat immediately died after he told me. And I was just like, well, I guess we know why. Because he's like, yeah, well, I know. I didn't say it out loud. But I remember thinking, you're a terrible person for even thinking that. You animal. And I left. I felt so bad for even thinking it.
Wait, what was the connection of the eczema and...
Because it's all over his body. And he had earlier told a story about how his cat liked to sleep on his stomach.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
All right, fair.
Yeah.
That happens. Listen, if that was my situation, I would laugh hysterically. I'd be like, I need that right now.
I know, because it was funny.
Yeah.
And I know it was funny.
Yeah.
But I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it. And I've heard people make jokes about fathers being shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I would never have the confidence to say that out loud.
No, ever. Yeah, no, not at all. It's not, it's not good. Yeah, I have to. And the worst part about it is I know I'm funny when I'm making fun of people in a fun, playful way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I live with my roommate and he's one of my closest friends. And we have another close friend. The three of us together are so mean. So much so, especially with the one guy who's very quiet. He'll never fight back in public until we're alone. And then he's just with us. So everyone's always like, do you really hate him? No, of course. Well, we always go yeah, fuck that guy. Because if people are not going to play along, they don't need to be a part of it.
Right, right, right.
But it's he knows we love him to death.
Right.
And, I miss him and think about him every day.
Oh.
But I'm so good at it, but it's because I've known them for over 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that one guy that I'm really mean to, probably too mean to, I've known him for 25 years now. I've known him for... your lifetime.
My whole life you've known him.
I'm
incredibly mean to myself. So I think you can be mean to someone if you've known them for 25 years.
I am just a monster to myself. Oh,
God. Yeah, no, it's nothing like the Shark Tank.
Not
they can
at
say
all.
Nothing even close.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that they try, though.
Yeah, and even when people say mean things to me, I'm the one who makes it worse because I'm just like, oh, they're... And I escalate it.
No,
and it's just like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a nightmare. All right. So, question three. I'm a genie. You have 3 wishes and 10 seconds. Go.
I'm so glad that you asked this. Okay. So, oh my God. It would be, I would like a Snickers. I would like a Reese's peanut butter cup. And I would like you to have a wonderful rest of your existence.
You win. That was, the correct answer is more money.
No, it's not.
Making it. Wanting my existence to be nice? I'm
going
to say
your
you're the
existence.
Winner.
I thought you meant... Okay, yes. No, their existence.
Their existence.
Yes.
Whose existence?
The genie.
I thought you were talking about me specifically. I was like, that's really sweet.
No, no. Well, because...
Oh, because I was the genie in the scenario.
That's, yeah.
All right. I'm still going to... Listen, I need this.
Okay.
That was for me.
I have very strong feelings about genies. I really do.
I want to hear about them now.
Did you ever watch The Twilight Zone as a kid?
Yes.
I was a huge fan of The Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this one particular episode that would keep me up at night. And it was about a genie. And these people would ask for these wishes that you initially think are great wishes. Like, I wish that I had a whole bunch of money or something. But then they would... have the money and somehow like the physical money would kill them. I don't remember exactly, but it would always end up with them dying somehow, no matter what they wished for. And so I've been trying to think of what three wishes could I make without just getting myself killed. They're sneaky little motherfuckers. Like, they don't want you to have a good time. They're slaves, for God's sake. And they have all the power in the world. So
my favorite part of that question is that so many people have very strong opinions on genies themselves.
Really?
It is fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Like, I was talking to Anders and Alex Patak, and mm-hmm. we were talking about they broke down the whole wish. They were so into it.
Oh my God.
It was hilarious.
I need to have a conversation with them. Because the motherfucker who thinks that they can get infinite wishes, you narcissistic piece of shit.
You should talk to them because they found a loophole to get him.
What?
It was hilarious.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was real good.
I thought about this for so long.
Yeah.
I just can't fathom a way that you could ask for infinite wishes and not get fucked over at some point. Because your life is, what, 40 more years? You're not going to offhand be like, oh God, I wish this day were over. And then day is just gone.
Yeah.
And you fuck forever. Up. Like, gone.
Yeah, that is very much a Twilight episode. And right? Terrifying. Yeah.
Yes. This kept me up at night.
That's understandable.
Yeah, I had no religion. I had no direction at all.
Sure.
And so I saw Twilight Zone and I was like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. Terrified me. Oh, yeah. My God. Rod Stewart was my Jesus.
Vampires, I realized.
Oh, really?
Of all the things that I've ever been scared of, really, spiders, snakes, and vampires. And
those are your big three.
That was the big three. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was no good. And vampires are the only illogical one, because spiders are terrifying and snakes are very terrifying.
Dude, seeing a snake swimming is so unnerving.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh,
it's terrifying.
Man.
And also, water snakes are real dicks. They will bite you. They are very aggressive and they will try to bite you over nothing. And most of them are not, well, the ones in the area in Northwest Jersey where I used to live, usually are not poisonous, but when they bite you, there's something in their saliva that makes you keep bleeding. So in case you weren't scared yet, now have fun with that.
Ew.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. I have done entirely too much research on snakes. They terrify me. We had them in our house at one point. That's a nightmare. That's not what I needed.
That's a literal nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, people have nightmares about that. Yeah.
I moved out of this house and my friends who still live there said they saw snake just go right in and out of my room. And I was like, well, thank God I'm not there anymore, because I would never sleep again.
Oh, gosh.
Nightmare. Yeah, we had all sorts of weird things. But all right. Question number four, who is right? I like how hard you really want to nail this.
I do. I don't know if you know this, but I was very big into collegiate debate. So
fascinating.
Yeah, so I'm just doing so many pros and cons in my head right now.
Sure.
While trying to think of a stupid pun. Who is right? I would probably, this is very lofty, I would probably just have to say poor people in general. I feel like generally have a better grasp on reality than rich people.
All right. I like it. That's a great, very thoughtful answer.
Thank you. Yeah. I will stand by that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Time travel. When, where, why?
I read a lot about time travel. That's my sci-fi nugget. I love time travel.
All right. Well, you will now come on again and we will talk about time travel for hours. I love time travel.
Oh my God. It's so much fun. I'm reading this fantastic anthology of short stories, time travel short stories. And it's edited by, do you know who Jeff Vandermeer is? He wrote it doesn't matter. So I'm just reading. Anyway, it doesn't matter. None of this matters. Time travel. So, okay. Where would I go? What would I do? What was the third part? Who would I be?
When, where, why?
When, where, why? Oh, okay. That's easier. I would probably go into the future for sure. I'd want to be, I'm just curious what's happening in America in 200 years. I just want to see that progression. 'Cause 200 years, you know, you could still speak and understand what's happening, probably. Yeah, I would just be really curious to see what's happening, what we've done, because you could get history books. Definitely anyone who goes in the past is a fool, because you could kill yourself, obviously.
Alter the timeline. But then you get into the like, can you, though? Because if it has happened
I know.
In theory, something, because, yeah, if you went back,
right. I think the thing is, this is my justification. So there's infinite timelines, right?
Yes. Multiverses, if you will.
Multiverses, if you want to get real nerdy about it.
I do.
Great. So basically with time travel, you're just jumping into a different universe, right? Sure. 'Cause there's a universe exactly like this, but just 10 years in the past.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. So do I want to leave my universe? I guess is the question that you're asking yourself. Fair.
Well, if that's time travel to you, then that's because, like, in my thought process, like, if to not affect your timeline, if you stayed in this universe and actually traveled back into time in this universe, then you can't change anything because it happened already. Like, there is nothing you can do to change because it is here. Whatever you do in the past, something got in the way so you couldn't affect your own growth or whatever.
Right.
Or something. And then, like, the greatest example is, what's that weird movie? 13 Monkeys with Bruce Willis, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And he goes back into time to stop, like, this terrorist attack and all this, like, disease. Yeah. And when he goes back, he doesn't change anything. But what he does is he dresses up at one point to, like, get by. And when he dresses up and sees the person he's with get dressed up, he turns around and sees her and realizes, like, oh, no, I remember us. Because as a kid, he sees them.
Interesting.
I don't even know. That just came out. That's a pointless fact.
Well, the thing, okay, so I guess what I'm saying with the whole universe thing is I don't believe in that theory. Don't believe if we had the technology to go back into time that it would not affect. There wouldn't be no effects. I don't think the universe is that neat.
Sure.
I just can't believe that.
Yeah.
But what I do think time travel is you're going into a different universe.
I think that, honestly, I think that's more a possibility anyway. Like, that seems more, because...
Yeah.
And it's going to sound like a real douchey, like, thing, but, like, what is time? Like, that's
exactly
the thing.
Exactly, yeah.
It's, like, there are millions of answers to that, so it's, like, if... Yeah, I feel like the multiverse theory is also, there's more support for multiverses anyway than as far as, like, what, like, the whole time travel thing. That was a good answer. Did you answer the whole thing? When, where, why? 200 years.
200 years in the future in America, just because I'm curious.
Cool. Yeah. I like it. That's a good answer. I also just love time travel. I could talk about it forever.
I'm
obsessed,
so
especially with, like, the idea of infinite. So, like, time is something I think of.
Right. Yeah, I do.
Or, like, things getting larger, like the universe as a whole getting larger, or things getting smaller. Like, electrons and protons and neutrons are made of something.
I know. Isn't that fascinating?
And, like, people who say they aren't, like, you are wrong.
You're wrong.
It's just we haven't gotten that small yet. Yeah. People also just be like, oh, cells are the smallest thing. Nope, there are molecules. Cells, molecules, atoms.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's like it just keeps getting smaller.
Right.
And also, where do the electrons go when they go in and out of existence regularly?
Science class, they just brush over it in like a second.
I lost my mind.
I did the same thing. I was like,
yeah.
But where? And they're like, no, we just don't know.
90% anyway. Of, 90% of school I slept through and was a barely, I got through, I was fine. But science, I was always like paying attention. Mm-hmm. When they did that, I was like, hold on.
Yeah,
and dude. I made a big to-do. They were like, what happened there? I was like, you can't just tell me things are going in and out of existence and be like, that's it. That's all.
Yeah.
And everyone else is like half asleep, barely taking notes. Yeah, you can't
Porky Pig that shit.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm looking around, the only one of 25 people who care. I'm like, no.
Oh my what God. What is going on? Yeah.
Ugh, that, science.
I was, and still am blown away.
I want to know where they go.
Honestly,
there are theories. I feel hurt
that I'm not invited.
Multiverses. That's like a whole thing. Oh. They go in and out and they are able to go through the wall, whatever that is. Some people say it's like it's right here. Cool. It's insane.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Again, my only regret, not majoring in theoretical physics at Cornell.
That's a big regret.
It's dumb. I don't know, though. I may have not ended up doing comedy, though, so that would have been a bummer.
Too true.
But also, I would have gone to Cornell and done physics. Like, I would just know this stuff now.
Here's a question.
Like, oh, I know these.
And does it comfort you at all to know that in another universe you are? Or you did go?
Not in particularly. No? I think that's cool. And honestly, I always say regret, but it's not because who knows what would have happened if I did do all those things. Mm-hmm. Should I have? Yes. But I was young and dumb. I can admit to that. And admitting all those issues now has led me to become like a very mature 30-year-old. And like, I get to do all these cool things. Like, I've started a podcast network and all this other stuff. And who knows if that would have or would not have happened. But it's like one of those things like, well, I'm going to go forward.
Yeah, no, totally.
And if another universe I did do that, like, I hope they are killing it. Or multiverse, I should say. Like, I hope they did it. And I hope they're killing it. I hope they're in the same way.
Yeah.
That would be fun. I was going to say something like, a stupid answer. Now I want to go meet my time travel.
That's what I was thinking.
I want to go meet this person. Yeah. And be like, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Sit down.
Yeah, and hopefully, if he's as smart and hopefully he's as enlightened as I have become in time, we can sit down and just have a cool conversation about where we are and see what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I want to do that. It's a double-edged sword because you can find a real fucked up version of yourself, too.
Oh, they're out there.
Right.
But I mean, listen.
I want to talk to the Cornell one.
I want to talk to the Cornell one.
Let's start there, anyway.
We'll see what happens. That would be a nightmare.
We
gotta go.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right, next one. What is the magic word?
Oh, abracadabra. I'm not even going to play around with that one. It's just abracadabra.
Nice. Yeah. I like it. What is the movie you have seen the most?
Probably When Harry Met Sally.
Could you put a number on that?
25? Okay. 25 times?
Cool.
I watch it probably about 5 times a year for the past 5 years.
Oh, fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Last Google search.
Oh, we can just find out.
Yeah, I don't know how that is, but I do remember my last 2 Google searches straight up were just directions still. But before that, I also just got a smartphone, so I still forget I have them. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the app I use the most, the compass. Like last night, I was just using the compass around the city. And my brother.
That's so cool.
And my 25-year-old brother is standing behind me, be like, "You're an idiot." Like, you realize the app next to it is just the map that will lead you there.
I'm like, it's fun though. When I first moved here, I didn't have a smartphone for 2 months, and I knew zero about the city.
Yeah, it's tough. I've been around here for 5 years now, and because I didn't have a smartphone until just a few months ago, and I ride my bike. I kind of know where everything is.
Same. Yeah. I was riding my bike.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And it's kind of freeing, though, knowing you can never get lost. It's really nice.
Yeah. Really nice.
It makes walking home a lot less scary.
Oh, yeah. Very
it makes everything.
So. Also, just like figuring, like, oh, okay, I got to go home. I'm going to take this train to this train. It's supposed to be like, oh, I should like. And it's just easy. And people can also just be like, oh, I'm at this street. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll figure out when I get there.
Yes. Oh, my God. I love that. Because I am pathetic with the subway system. I don't know anything about it. So they're always like, what stop are you at? And I'm like, I don't know. But I can tell you the cross streets. Everywhere else in America, that's a very acceptable answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I'm like, if people are like, oh, where are you? I'm like, oh, go to the corner of this and this. I'm at this stop. Make a left. look for this, find this. I am a big fan of directions.
God damn it. I wish I were better. I'm definitely one of those girls who's like, you know that thing? Well, find that thing.
Give me a call.
Yeah.
And then we'll try to figure it out.
Yeah, I am definitely that person.
Nice.
So the last thing I Google searched was ProPublica. Thank God.
What is that?
ProPublica, it's a super liberal website that you, it's kind of like the HuffPost if they were meaner.
Okay.
A little bit more serious.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, very cool. Off to read that.
Yeah.
Also, not an embarrassing search, but well played.
Sorry.
Well played. It's fine.
Well, the one below that was
right
just,
now,
yeah.
There's nothing. Nice. That.
Why?
Oh, that was my last, what word? I look up definitions. I have the grammar and vocabulary of a much younger person.
Okay.
And so I'm trying very hard to increase that. And I look up words all the time.
I do the same.
But I can't think of the word I looked up last. I don't remember what my last search was. I also don't know how to look. I don't know how to search for the search. So.
Oh, you just. Well, you know what? For the next podcast you do.
Yeah.
Just click so things. Like you're typing. That's all you have to do.
Oh, and then it comes right up?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get that to come up. Because I have no idea how these things work.
This is also a droid.
Oh, gross.
I'm sorry.
Let's see. Yeah, it's all directions. Let's see. No. Oh, that's so boring. The last thing I actually Googled were the mics that we're talking
about.
Oh, no. Audio-Technica condenser mic. How boring is that?
That's...
Oh, nope. That's just because I hit A. But that is actually the last thing I Googled.
All right.
I don't know how this works. Experimental. Oh, I looked up the coach. What the coach of OKC, Scott Brooks, the old coach of OKC, Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh.
I really thought you were
talking about OKCupid. And I was like, who the fuck calls it OKC?
Okay. And I'm like, big deal on OKC. Like, get the fuck out of my apartment.
No.
Do not talk to me
absolutely
ever again.
Absolutely not. They just start hearing me breaking shit.
Yeah, like get out of my life.
You animal.
Oh, God. That would be the worst.
Oh,
I would hate
man.
Me so
mad. OKC.
Oh,
I got some fresh pics on OKC.
Thank God none of those things you said, one, makes sense to me, and I would never use them. Some people forget how I'm, one, old, and two, like, straight out of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people, I love learning about slang. Like, I just learned out what shade means. I thought it was, like, what actual physical shade was.
Dude,
it's not.
I am right there with you. I am so behind on slang. I was working at this bar once in Vermont, and AF just started being used a lot.
Did not know what that was for entirely
no,
too long.
So long. And these little waitresses were going around and being like, that's lit AF. And I was like, what the fuck are you saying? And they wouldn't tell me. So I was just, I was immediately a curmudgeonly old lady.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know.
I don't know what you're saying.
I didn't know what the first half of that was either.
Lit?
Yeah.
I still don't really understand it.
I think just crazy, but like crazy in a fun way. It's also, is that like the new turnt?
I think so.
I don't know.
But my understanding, whenever I use lit, I was talking about someone who was too drunk.
Yeah.
That would,
oh,
like,
you weren't talking about the band from the late 90s, early
2000s? No, that was not my reference.
No, that's not
no,
where that comes from.
No,
it's not
no,
lit
no.
as fuck. No? All right, fair. Now, would you say you are your worst enemy? I am, right? Is that the song? I'm my worst enemy? That was a good reference. That was a good reference, and I am upset that it is now gone into the ether.
I felt its goodness.
There is legit sympathy on your face. Like, I'm sorry that
really,
you know that.
I am so... It's one of the things I'm most embarrassed about myself, but I am very bad at pop reference cultures in any genre.
Me too, unless it's strictly from the late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh,
that's
God.
It. It's like a very small window.
Yeah, I wish I had even that. I am... Like we were talking about earlier, I was not blissfully, but unaware of people around me. And that includes pop culture. I don't know what people are talking about. I don't know why they're talking about it. It's bad. It's to the point of almost being rude how little I know about what's going on.
And I
always sit there
and I try to listen and learn. But the last, I was with a bunch of friends, they were talking about Beyonce. And eventually my friend's like, what? For 2 hours, I was just listening. And I have nothing to add. Yeah. And my friend turns around and goes, say something. I was like, there is not one thing I could add to this conversation.
I can't. Oh, I really can't.
All I think I learned is that sometimes they call her Queen Bee. Is that true? Or is that somebody else?
Is it Queen Bee or Queen Bay?
Don't know.
I don't know the inflection. I don't know.
I don't. I'm sorry. I want to. I don't. It's just I'm too out of pop culture now.
I don't know.
It's my pop culture references are specifically middle school and high school.
I have no anchor. I'm just in a. It's like that Renoir photo or painting of that little guy in the boat out in the ocean. I don't know.
Just out there, like, oh, this is fine.
I don't understand.
Yeah. No, I feel you. But we are running out of time. I don't want to hold you up too long.
Okay.
How's my hair?
It actually looks really nice. I almost said something earlier, but I complimented
you could
your.
Have.
I could have, but I complimented your beard last time, and I thought it would be too much. Honestly.
Yeah. Don't say nice things about me. It goes right to my head.
No, it's just, you know, I'm constantly terrified that I'm flirting with people. So I try.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, I try to like.
I have a hard, especially when it's someone of the opposite sex.
Right.
I have a very hard time. Like, I don't want to like put this person on. And people are like, you're not. You're not at all.
Yeah. Well, I've been getting recently that I have been. I've been told that I am very sneaky flirty, which I'm here to tell you I'm not being sneaky or flirty. So
yeah.
I don't know if they're just like reading into it and hoping I'm flirting with them or if I'm actually giving off a vibe.
Also, good news,
I don't
if you even were to flirt with me, I wouldn't know.
Okay.
I wouldn't know at all.
Oh, good.
So
I'm glad.
Good. Yeah, feel free. You want you got like a new game that you want to try? Like hit me up. We'll see.
Okay.
Like, yeah,
all
no
right.
Problem.
Well, I will. Whenever I see your hair and I think it looks nice, I will not hesitate to tell you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I needed that though when you said that because I was like, I think this is all has to go. And you're like, I like the mustache. And I was like, it's staying forever.
Yay! I really do. The beard is fantastic.
It's slowly, the more it grows, the more I'm like, oh, this is me.
It
like,
looks,
this makes sense.
Oh, it feels right, too.
Yeah, it feels right. Because I look like I'm an outdoors person. I like it. Now it fits. I don't look like a 19-year-old, like boy.
You were born to have a beard.
Yes, I really was. And it's coming in pretty nice.
It really, it's really not patchy at all, which a lot of my guy friends have that problem.
Yeah,
it's
very,
very
lucky.
Even.
Yep. It's just very curly. I need to start shaving the chops grow way too fast.
Oh, really?
Gotta trim it down. But the mustache, I'm letting it go. I want a huge, gross
You're going to get it.
I'm very excited.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. So, all right, last question. We'll get out of here. What's the deal with the No, I said that wrong. Let's try that one again.
Okay.
What's the deal with existence and stuff?
I wish I didn't know because I'm pretty sure there isn't. I feel very strongly that things are just happening and we try to attach emotions to them to weather. I'm very confident in that. And that is such a shitty way to live.
Not at all.
It's awful.
I actually believe the opposite because when I was younger, I put too much on everything. And like, there was a reason. There's something. There's got to be this thing. And thinking that it was so egocentric, but breaking out of that allowed me to escape and then become a better person because I was none of this really matters. Probably. Yeah. So let me concentrate on myself. I became a better person. And in turn, now am affecting more positively than I was before, easily, without a doubt. Even when I was trying way too hard to affect change, now I'm actually doing it.
Well, I think I'm going to nitpick exactly one thing that you said. I think it's interesting when people say that it's egocentric to be atheist, for a better word. I don't think that that's true. I feel people assume that if you don't believe that there's something greater than you, then you make yourself God. But that's not what's happening. Do you know what I mean? It's just an understanding that everything is equally.
And I'm not even an atheist. I'm actually very spiritual. But the thing is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. But it's, I just felt I was putting too much emphasis on just me and being like, no, everything I do has to be a thing and mean something.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, I really did. I kind of glazed over that part, but I was like, I put too much emphasis on just like me being such a big part. And it's like, once I kind of got out of that, I was like, when you look at all of time and space and you're like, not, you don't register on that.
Right.
And so I'm just like, that's terrifying. But then immediately it was like, oh, all right. And then I kind of took a step back, and as opposed to forcing myself to do one thing, which was teaching, which I still think I'm a fine teacher, but I'm happier now doing comedy, and I, through comedy, have done way more than I've done teaching.
I was
like kind of forcing myself to do that, and maybe had some effect on some of the kids. But doing comedy, I think I have talked and reached more people and have done more, like affected more change through humor and satire and all that stuff than I did teaching.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I come from a family of teachers, so if you ever said that, it would, you would, you know, when you were thrown out of the frat,
yeah, I would be
that would, you well, would no, be thrown I, out of the listen, Reed household.
I'm still first and foremost, like, I'm a teacher, and if comedy didn't, if I was tired and burnt out, I would go teach an outdoor classroom in Colorado somewhere.
Okay.
And I still think education is the answer to all of our problems.
I 1,000% agree.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just that I, again, it was just me personally.
Right. Okay.
I wasn't the best person I could be. Even at the time, if I taught now, I would be so much a better teacher because I'm not, it's just a different mindset.
Right. It's sort of like, correct me if I'm wrong and if this is a poor analogy, it's sort of like having a conversation with someone without the weight of it being a date. Do you know what I mean? So like the pressure for it every moment to be perfect isn't there.
That's the thing. That's perfect, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, again, to bring it back to dating, I tried going on a date with someone. And I was like, let's just like go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And they put so much pressure on it. And like, they're like, so no, let's go do this. And I was like, well, that's not going to work. We don't have the time. And it just kept building it up. And then we just stopped talking altogether.
Man.
And it's like, there's too much pressure on it.
This is a secret fantasy of mine, which will no longer be secret, but I...
the dozens of us will tell everyone.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I think one of the most romantic dates you could go on is a walk. There's so much you can learn from someone, and there's no forced timeline with a walk. This is probably just me, but you don't have forced eye contact like at a dinner or something. So you can have eye contact if you like them, but you don't have to.
Yeah. Also, I look like an idiot when I eat. I get too excited about food. It's real gross.
Yeah. It's not good. That's not the first way. It's not a good look.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
We sound like the perfect wing people. We should go take the city by storm and then just hate dating more afterwards.
Perfect.
Yeah. But we are running way over. And so I'm sorry.
Oh.
Because it's like 1:20 where we've been doing this now. And you got to go. You got a show tonight, which I'm very excited for.
I do have a show.
Fetch.
Yes.
Lots of great comedians. Mm-hmm. When you hear this, it'll have already happened. It was fantastic.
There's another one on December 10th.
There it is.
That you should come to.
Tell the people all the stuff, how they can find you.
Oh, yes. You can find me on Twitter, even though you won't find any tweets there, at just read it. You can find me on Facebook, Just Read Comedian. I do Fetch every second Saturday at 7:30 at the Experiment Comedy Gallery.
Great show.
It's a fun show. I really love that show.
It's the best.
It's dog themed. So how can it go wrong?
It can't go wrong.
Yeah. I actually just read an article that, which whenever you read an article online that says science has proved, it hasn't, but it feels good. That if you're a dog person, you're just a better person in general. So
yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
That is scientific.
I think we all intuitively knew that if you don't reject a thing that we have bred to love you, you're probably not a dick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was just nice to be validated in that way. But yeah, I will be talking way more about dogs at Fetch if you are so interested.
I highly recommend it. And I'll be
there
too. Come hang out, guys. Yay! Jess, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Yes, this was great. All right. See you guys next week. Bye.